Do you study productivity at all?
Not really. I got a few views. I saw your questions coming up in the list. I don't study. I mean, your answer to your question about productivity is low in the Western world. How can it be improved? I don't know, but I have always known what improves productivity in organizations that I've run. And it is a combination of a couple of things. It is focusing on what actually motivates human beings. And that is not money. It's just one of the factors. It's working in an environment where people are learning, growing, where they're respected, where they have a voice, where they're treated fairly, where they're communicated with. That is the starting point for high productivity. And then on top of that, you link a culture of accountability. Very high and measurable accountability is what drives a performance culture in my business. And I'm relating this entirely to my experience. So if you talk about productivity in manufacturing across the Western world, I would have no idea. But that those sorts of thoughts, just an environment where people feel that they are actually valued, communicated with, and then, yes, rewarded appropriately, certainly. That's important, cherry on the top. But it's got to be a culture of accountability, and that includes measurement and the sorts of things that go along with that, and consequences for non-performance and everything else.
So what personal productivity techniques do you use to stay focused as you drive forward with your own personal brand and your businesses?
Well, you know, I'm pretty much in cruise mode, but I would say to you a couple of things. First of all, recruiters love to say they're great multitaskers, and so do other people who like to be busy. Well, it's all bullshit. Multitasking does not work.
Yeah.
Multitasking is scientifically proven to be unproductive. The human brain cannot concentrate on two or three things at the same time. What you want to do is to task switch. And the best tip I can give you is the Pomodoro technique. And anyone listening to this can Google that, because it's not my idea. Pomodoro is Italian for tomato, and I can't remember why he called it this, but it involves simply working in bite-sized chunks, and I do that. I've got a big task in front of me. I'm writing a speech for Itabu. It's going to take me 2 days to write it. I say, okay, I'm going to sit down, and for 30 minutes, I'm going to write the introduction. And I'm not going to take a phone call. I'm not going to try and multitask. I'm not going to look at my emails. I'm going to write this introduction. But after 30 minutes, I'm going to walk across to the coffee shop, and I'm going to have a nice coffee for 10 minutes. And that's what I do. I work in those little chunks of time, high intense focus points. Of course, if the phone glows and someone says, my son's broken his arm playing cricket down the road, then I'll go and do that. But for the most part, I won't be interrupted. So working in those sort of chunks of time are highly effective. And then you'll come back and say, okay, I'm a bit sick of doing this. I have to prepare for a board meeting on Tuesday. There's that difficult. I've got to read through the balance sheet and the P&L and make some point. I'm going to work for 30 minutes on that. And you do that 6-7 times a day, and you get a lot done. If you just sit there and work hard and take every call that comes through and respond to every email, and by the way, I'm very susceptible to be easily distracted, you will not be productive. So the Pomodoro, people should look it up. It's good.
Well, I can tell you that It was started by Francesco Cirillo or Cirillo, late 80s. And the reason why he called it Pomodoro is because he had a tomato-shaped kitchen timer, which he used when he was developing the method.
Yeah, well, I actually started working a little bit like this years ago, just through trial and error. And then, believe it or not, I heard my brother give a speech where he talked about this Pomodoro, and he did acknowledge the founder of it, and I realized that I was half doing it, and then I read up on it, and I started getting better at it. And that's the one technique that I find, that and sort of eschewing multitasking, and you know, closing down your emails, not taking phone calls, not the text goes, just leave your phone in the drawer, focus for 30 minutes, because there is almost nothing on God's green earth that's going to be that important in the next 30 minutes, is there? You know, let's get that done, and then we can return our calls or look at our phone or whatever.
Do you have any sort of morning routine which you use to prime yourself for the day and to make sure that, for example, you don't jump straight into email as soon as you get up, so you've got time to ask the question what you should be achieving with the day?
I go to the gym most mornings early. No, let me rephrase that. 3 times a week if I'm not traveling. I'll go to the gym, and that will be a 7 o'clock. You know, it's 45 minutes. It's hard because I get somebody to bully me. So that I find really helpful, because there's nothing more painful going to happen to you that day than that 45 minutes. So I come away feeling as though, stronger, clear-headed, and I think those days I'm more productive than the days I don't go to the gym, actually.
I agree. They say, I forget who it was that said it, but a day that begins with exercise is typically going to be a great day. You can get a lot chucked at you, and your ability to bounce back is improved incredibly.
I think so.
The problem is getting the motivation to do it in the first place, first thing in the morning.
Very true. Actually, a funny thing, years ago, I used to go to the gym at lunchtime when I was running a business in the city, and I used to start early, and I used to work long hours, so I was quite comfortable taking a full hour off to go to the gym, because I did my 10 or 12 hours anyway. And years later, the staff told me that if they wanted to have a tricky conversation with me, they'd always have it after I'd been to the gym, because I was relaxed, I was, clear thinker. But if I hadn't been to the gym that day, no one was going to come and ask for a salary raise or a 3-month holiday or anything like that. Not on non-gym days, which was quite insightful for me to realize. I would not have realized that my behavior was different, but it had even become a kind of a thing in the office. He hasn't been to the gym today, leave him alone.
Yeah, well, that was our own productivity hack they'd worked out on using against you, which makes complete sense.
Totally. So that was interesting. So I decided to go in the morning instead.
When you're traveling, do you manage to keep routine in during your travels? I mean, I find the more I travel, the more I have to try and adapt to make sure I keep routines going, because, well, for me, I am into productivity. I'm a habit-driven nutter, and finding, developing good habits which you can carry around with you, I find a very good way of maintaining fitness and keeping your brain in a good place while you're out and about. What do you do there?
Well, look, I mean, it would be wrong for me to position myself as an expert on fitness on the road, because I don't think I have nailed it. I've traveled a lot in my working life, and so I've had to come up with a few things. And when I can do these things, it makes it much more productive. One is not to drink alcohol on the long flights.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like a sort of buzzkill, and I don't always stick to it, particularly now that I haven't really got anyone at the other end that I'm answerable to. I don't mean a boss, but I mean somebody I've got to perform. Sometimes I will tackle the Shiraz, but mostly don't do that. Second thing is, I find that an early morning walk around some other city is a cool thing to do. So it's better than going to the gym unless you want to do weights, because the gym, you get up early and you've got the gym, and that's hard to go and motivate yourself. But to walk around Hong Kong at 6 o'clock in the morning, you walk for an hour and you didn't even notice that hour. So I found that really good. And the other thing is a bit of a diet one is to, particularly if you are going to be eating out at restaurants a lot or even room service, just protein and green stuff in the evening makes a massive difference to me. So if I can keep away from the pizzas, the chips, all that stuff. I know this is very basic, but just have protein and green stuff at night, I always feel much better the next day.
Have you ever tried the sexy compression socks on long haul?
No, I've never done that. Okay. My wife bought me a pair and then chastised me for years and said I was going to get deep vein thrombosis and everything. I may have worn them twice, but they never. It just seemed like another thing to remember. So I didn't do it.
Well, I think they are amazingly effective for making you feel better after a long haul. Don't drink booze. Put on those socks, because the theory, not about the deep vein thrombosis fears, but because you have all the lymph fluid goes down to the bottom of your legs as you're sitting there. So when you get up after the flight and you start moving around, you start swishing a load of poisons around your body, which give a sort of hangover effect. So if you keep those socks on while you're on the flight, your liver is cleaning out all the rubbish. Your liver and kidneys getting rid of the lymph poisons, which means when you stand up and start walking around, you've got a much more normal balance of a lymph in your system, and nothing to catch up on.
That's very interesting, Steve. Another way to deal with that issue, so that you don't sit down the whole time, is to fly Emirates in business class, because they've got a bar at the back, and then I can walk from seat 2A to the bar at the back at least 20 times from here to Dubai, and that gives me the exercise I need. It's probably not as good as the socks.
Doesn't that goes against your first rule, though, which is don't drink?
I know.
It's a big conflict, I can see.
It's a big conflict, and I always one way or the other.